Okay, I got the record on now. So now do the share again. We should be okay. All right. Okay, so we're again finishing up in Hosea chapter 14. Those that are just joining this, you need to read the entire chapter of Hosea. I'm just going to be zeroing in on a few chapters, so I'm kind of repeating myself for those that are listening in. Key verses are 1 and 2, again, and also 4 to 6. Samaria will bear her guilt, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword, their infants dashed to pieces, their pregnant women ripped open. Again, God warning them, this is what their enemies are going to do to them. Return, O Israel, to Adonai, your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Again, Trehasar, Samaria will be laid waste and rendered desolate, for she has been the primary culprit in the decadence and idolatry of Israel, as the leaders residing there have been set tone for the entire nation. Again, the leadership determines how a nation goes. You have a leadership who rejects God, that nation's going to be cursed. You have a nation who honors God, that nation's going to be blessed. That's why this country has been blessed, because it's been founded on godly Judaic Christian principles. But the minute we see that we're starting to, and the early settlers, leaders warned us that if we reject God, that we are going to, forsake his blessings. And again, we see now this country is becoming probably even more divided between those who want to serve and honor God and those who want to do away with God totally. Therefore, her inhabitants shall die by the sword. Her infants will be cruelly dashed against the rocks to shatter their bodies, and her pregnant women will be split open by the enemy. Hosea issues a clarion call to the Jewish nation, or especially, again, they're dealing with the northern tribes right now, but the southern tribes, the other prophets are going to be dealing with them as well, to repent their evil deeds and return to the Almighty with all their hearts. Appropriately, these words are read throughout the congregations of Israel on the Sabbath between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, again, which is the 30 days. There's a period called in the month of Elul, the 30 days of Teshuvah, and then there's 7 days of or 10 days of repentance prior to Yom Kippur, when awareness of one's obligations to God and that person's deficiency therein, as well as sensitivity to the divine and involvement in true repentance, are at their height. And again, there's a special anointing during this time of repentance. I mean, you could feel it. If you're sensitive to the Ruach, you can feel that atmosphere of repentance during this time. Okay, verse 2 continue. Take heed of my words of rebuke and return to the Almighty. For you have stumbled in misfortune due to your sins, and only Hashem can raise you up again. Again, the prophets warned them before that Egypt isn't going to help you. Assyria is not going to help you. You think they're going to help you, but they're going to turn against you and bring you into captivity. There are various views among the commentators as to whom is being addressed with these words. According to some, they are directed to the citizens of Samaria in continuation of the previous verse. Since it has been decreed upon you that you will be destroyed, it is an absolute necessity that you immediately repent and return to the ways of Hashem so that you can still be saved. Again, we see God's mercy and grace, warning them, telling them if they repent, they don't have to go through with this. Others perceive this verse as being directed to the nation of Judah, who witnessed the downfall of neighboring Samaria. The prophet exhorts them to repent the evil in their lives, lest they too succumb to a similar fate. So again, Judah didn't go get sent into Babylon for, many, years afterwards, but they saw what was going on with the northern tribes and, what the prophets were saying to them as well, to bring them to repentance. Hosea 14:3, take words with you and return to Adonai. Say to him, take away all iniquity and accept what is good, so may we repay with offerings of our lips. Trehasar commentary, Those sacrifices which we should be offering to, we will replace with appeasing words of our lips. Indeed, our words of repentance are preferable to you over our sacrifices, as evidenced by the fact that even sacrifices are of no value if they are not accompanied by words of confession. Again, just as the prophet told Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. In the Siddur, these words are understood to serve as the basis for the substitution of prayer in place of sacrifices as the focal point of the Jews' service to Hashem, Master of the Universe. You commanded us to sacrifice the daily offerings. Now the daily offering is abolished, and we have neither Kohen serving or Levite performing, nor Israel in attendance. However, you have declared, and we will pay for bulls with our lips. Although we long for the day when the temple will be rebuilt, we can once more serve you with our prayers and our sacrifices. We know that the utterance of our lips alone can be pleasing to you, even as the Yom Kippur service. Again, we know that Yeshua, as Messianic believers, was our sacrifice. He satisfied the sacrificial system. His blood was poured out for us. So now, you know, when we pray in the name of Yeshua. When we're praying in the name of Yeshua, we're praying in the name of Yahweh saves. And that the salvation includes healing and deliverance, prosperity, everything that God has for us. Even though one day the temple will be rebuilt, for the return of Yeshua, I believe. Okay, that word repentance, again, repentance is the key to forgiveness. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Okay, it's the word shuv, or also it's pronounced teshuvah, to return, but shuv means to return. It's a verb meaning to turn, to return, to go back, to do again, to change, to withdraw, to bring back, to reestablish, to be returned, to bring back, to take, to restore, to recompense, to answer, to hinder, again, depending on the context. The verb is used over 1,000 times in its various shades of meaning in its four stems. In the simple stem, it is used to describe divine and human reactions, attitudes, and feelings. The verb describes a possibility that Israel might change or turn their minds and return to Egypt. We see that in the Exodus, that they would, you know, shuv, want to return back to Egypt. So, you know, God, again, I believe that's why God led them in the way that he did, so they couldn't turn back. And there's just different instances. Josiah the king turned back to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and strength. Again, this is referring to repentance, returning back to the way of God. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the anger he held toward Judah. Again, there's times where God will repent, you know, of change his mind of on judgment due to intercession. Okay, we see in the case of Israel, when God was going to destroy the nation because of the worship of the golden calf. But Moses pleaded with him, and God changed his mind about destroying the whole nation, but still 3,000 died that day for their idol worship. So again, it's, you know, in the prophets that we're studying, this word shuv for them is to return back to the ways of God and forsake your pagan ways. And again, we see that happening in our days. We see this move of God where believers are realizing, you know, there's things that have entered into Christianity that weren't part of the early assembly of Yeshua. Pagan practices that were, you know, subtly slipped in and changed over the biblical practices. But God is bringing his people back, those that have hearts, who are hungry to do things the way God said to do them. So we need to continue to pray, you know, for the believers that are in the congregations, and that God gives us wisdom on how to share the blessings of returning to God's ways. Also, it says God's people will return and repent and seek him in the last days or end of days. We see that in Deuteronomy 30, Isaiah 59:20, and Hosea 3:5. Again, instead of turning away from him as they are now to return to Egypt, God's people are, again, returning back to the ways of God. And what we need to guard ourselves is, and what I see that happens with a lot of people that come into this walk, they become arrogant and prideful against those in the church, you know, who don't understand this yet, and all of a sudden they think that they're better than the believers, you know, in the regular churches. Well, we can't be that way because, number one, you know, we were all in the regular churches and we learned something from there. But when you're continually seeking God, and this is a move of God, this is God, this is happening all over the world. God is saying, return to me, return to that place of safety, return to that place of blessing, and serve me the way I have laid it out. And again, Yeshua being our example. So we have in this day, God raising up people, raising up leaders, telling people in the body of Messiah, you need to stop incorporating non-biblical practices with your worship of God. And people are, again, they're looking, you know, to return, but we have to, you know, also be humble in our return and not be arrogant, but be ready to give an answer when somebody shares in love. And our best testimony, which I think everybody has the same testimony, is, well, you know, something was missing. Something was, you know, there was something missing. It was like you got a piece of the book, but you don't know the whole story. Well, now again, you know, God, we're learning as we are studying the prophets. Again, I could see so much correlation in what Israel was going through to what we are going to, especially the United States as a nation, because this country specifically was founded on the principle of a Judeo-Christian faith, freedom to worship God. Again, any nation can repent and turn to God for forgiveness. Jeremiah 18:8. Hosea 6:1. Now, these are just some scriptures regarding repentance. Come, let us return, shuv, to Adonai, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is smitten, but he will bind us up. Again, there's return in healing. When we are away from God, that's when we open the doors for the enemy, you know, to come in. And even, you know, with different things in our life, you know, when things go bad again, it's, you know, sometimes it's just a test or trial, but sometimes we open the door to the enemy. We have to, you know, Father, you know, where did I open the door? Show me where, if I need to repent of an action or my attitudes or my words, so I can close this door to the enemy. Hosea 12:7. So you should return to your God, keep covenant loyalty and justice, and wait for your God continually. 1 Samuel 7:3-4. Then Samuel spoke to the whole house of Israel, saying, if you are returning to Adonai with all your heart, then remove the foreign gods and the Asherahs among you. Again, the Asherahs was a pagan worship pole that the Israelites were allowing in the land and worshiping. But again, we have to return with all our heart and get rid of the things that were taking us away from God. Direct your hearts to Adonai and serve him only. Then he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So B'nai Israel removed the Balaam and the Asheroth and served Adonai alone. 2 Chronicles 30:6-7. At the king's command, the couriers went throughout all Israel and Judah with letters from the king and his officials saying, you men of Israel, turn back to Adonai, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you who escaped from the hand of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and brothers who acted unfaithfully against Adonai, the God of their fathers, so that he made them as a horror as you see. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek Adonai while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let them return to Adonai, so he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Again, God is always ready to pardon us when we have repentance in our heart. But that doesn't mean you repent and then you go back and do the same thing, because true repentance means I'm not going back there. You know, I'm staying with God. Jeremiah 3:12-13. Go proclaim these words toward the north, saying, return, backsliding Israel, says Adonai. I will no longer frown on you, for I am merciful, says Adonai. I will not keep a grudge forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, for you sinned against Adonai your God and scattered your favors to foreign gods under every green tree. You have not obeyed my voice. It is a declaration of Adonai. Jeremiah 4:1. If you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares Adonai. If you will put your detestable things out of my sight, then you will not waver. Joel 2:12-13. Yet even now, it is a declaration of Adonai, turn to me, again, shuv, return with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and lamenting. Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn to Adonai your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abundant in mercy, and relenting about the calamity due. Again, it starts with the heart. Whatever is in your heart is going to eventually, whether it's good or bad, is going to manifest in the natural. So Yeshua said, you know, out of the heart, you know, comes evil. You know, out of the heart, adultery starts in the heart. Murder starts in the heart. You need to put those things down. You know, the entrance is through the mind. And as you keep on thinking, you know, whether if you think on good things are going to take over your heart and good things are going to come out of your mouth. If you're thinking on bad things are going to take over your heart and the actions are going to follow. So we need to, again, protect our hearts and minds continually. That's our responsibility. You know, God says, guard what you see, guard what you hear, watch the words that come out of your mouth. And that's something we all need to be careful of. Zechariah 1:3-4, therefore tell them, thus says Adonai Zevaot, return to me. It is a declaration of Adonai Zevaot, and I will return to you, says Adonai Zevaot. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out, saying, thus says Adonai Zevaot, turn back now from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not listen or pay attention to me. It is a declaration of Adonai. Acts 26:18-20. Again, to open their eyes so that may turn from darkness to light, from the power of HaSatan to God, that they may receive release from their sins, as well as a place among those who are made holy through trusting in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Rather, I kept declaring first to those in Damascus and then Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea and also the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds consistent with that repentance. Again, that's the message of salvation. It's the message of true repentance, receiving what Yeshua did and living for him. Trehasar, having exhorted the people to repent and return wholeheartedly to Hashem, the prophet now goes on to depict the reaction such a course will evoke from the Almighty. 14:5. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger will turn away from them. Again, the commentary, I will provide a remedy for their deviance and rebellion, which is a sickness to that which is a sickness that is the same as illness to the body. I got a typo there. I was typing things up. But again, spiritual sickness affects the body physically as well. Okay. But God, again, sin is a spiritual sickness. Backsliding, worshiping other gods is a spiritual sickness, which, you know, will affects our soul, affects our life, affects our healing. Again, that word "I will heal" is the Hebrew word rapha or rapha. It means to heal, to make fresh. It describes a process of healing, being restored to health, made healthy, usable, fertile. Again, different examples that you could look at later, where God healed in different circumstances. We see in the case of Abimelech when he, in the case of Sarah, I believe, or it was Isaac, I can't, you know, let's go to Genesis 20:17 so I can quoting it correctly, because there's two instances that this happens. So Genesis 20:17. Okay, yeah, this is where let's see. Let's begin with verse 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are but a dead man, for the woman you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Skip down to verse 6. For God said to him in a dream, "Yea, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me, therefore allowed you not to touch her." Again, he thought it was his sister. He didn't know it was his wife. So God realized that, hey, you were innocent in this. "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know that you shall surely die, you and all that are yours." So go to verse 15. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is..." Well, I'm sorry, let's go up farther. Let's see, where was I? 30:17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bore children. So again, God withheld them from being able to have children because of the sin against Abraham. But when Abraham prayed for him, God healed, or Rapha, his family. Again, there's different instances of healing here. So let's go on. You can read, you know, read these in context. I don't want to take the time to go over all these, but I provide you the notes so you can study them more yourself. It refers to, again, describes the restoring of a person's soul or life. It's about restoration. Okay. God alone was able to heal the wounds of his broken people. Again, only God can heal us. Exodus 15:26. And he said, "If you diligently listen to the voice of Adonai, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, pay attention to his mitzvot and keep all his decrees, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am Adonai who heals you." So again, healing has always been in a part of the covenant of Israel. Isaiah 57:18. "I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners." Jeremiah 3:22. "Return backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. Yes, you will come. Yes, we will come to you, for you are Adonai Eloheinu." Jeremiah 8:18-23. "My joy is overcome by grief. My heart is faint within me. Listen the sound of the cry of the daughter of my people, a voice from a distant land. Is Adonai no longer in Zion? Is her king no longer in her? Why have they provoked me with their graven images and foreign idols? Harvest is past, summer is over, yet you are not saved. Because of the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am brokenhearted. I mourn. Desolation grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why has no healing gone up from the daughter of my people? If only my head were water and my eyes a fountain of tears, then what I would weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." So here Jeremiah is grieving over the brokenness, the spiritual sickness of Israel. knowing that only God can heal his people. Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, Adonai, and I will be healed. Save me and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Jeremiah 33:6, indeed, I will bring it health and healing. I will surely heal them. Matthew 9:12, but when he heard this, Yeshua said, those that are healthy have no need for a doctor, but those who are sick do. Now go and learn what this means. Mercy I desire and not sacrifice. For I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinful. I revealed to them an abundance of shalom and truth. So again, here we see God, the reason why Yeshua healed, was doing healing, was because it was part of God's covenant for Israel. So, you know, he was, you know, with the one woman with the issue of blood, and, you know, another woman says, you know, shouldn't this daughter of Israel be made whole? Those who dwell in his shade shall return. You know, when I saw that, I think of Psalm 91, because Psalm 91 says in the first verse, let's look at that Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Again, speaking of that place of refuge. Hosea 14:6, I will be like dew for Israel. He will blossom like a lily and thrust out his roots like Lebanon. His tender shoots will spread out. His beauty will be like an olive tree, and his fragrance will be like Lebanon. Those dwelling in his shadow will return. They will grow grain and bud like a vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Again, those dwelling in his shadow will return. And that's when Psalm 91 came to my mind, because it says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we are dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty, then he goes on to say that no disease, no pestilence, no enemy or anything can come against us when we are dwelling. And again, Psalm 91 is such, you know, a powerful psalm to be praying, you know, daily for ourselves and for our family. Let's read this. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Again, we are saying, we are proclaiming who our trust is. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, again, this is God speaking now, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In Hebrew, that word salvation is Yeshua. Hallelujah. Verse 9, Ephraim, what more are idols to me? I have responded and observed him. I will be like a luxuriant cypress tree. From me will be found your fruit. Who is wise? Let him discern these things. Who is intelligent? Let him know them. For the ways of Adonai are straight, and the just walk in them, but the wicked stumble in them. Trehasar. Those who dwell in the shadow of the tree, i.e. the nation of Israel, will return to that shade. unable to part from it due to its lovely fragrance and fruits. This refers to the slaves who attract themselves to the Jewish nation and be farmers and vine dressers. Many commentators interpret the shade as being that of the Almighty, which, again, as I was reading it, Psalm 91 popped into my spirit. Again, when we're reading the commentators, again, this is their opinion, this is their interpretation. Sometimes I agree with it, sometimes I don't, as I was reading, again, Psalm 91 just seemed to like fit exactly what God was saying here. Many commentators interpret the shade as being that of the Almighty, that I agree, Psalm 91. The Jewish nation will return to their land under the protection of Hashem. Did that happen? Yes, it happened twice. It happened in the days when God brought them out of Babylon after 70 years captivity, and it happened again in 1948 when God returned them back to the land after 1,800 years or more. Alternatively, this refers to the proselytes who will come to place themselves under the shadow of the Almighty. Again, proselytes are those from the nation who have attached themselves to the faith of the God of Israel, and including our Messiah Yeshua. Targum renders this first half of the verse as follows, and this I love. When I saw the Targum is the Aramaic translation, they will gather from their exile and dwell in the shade of their Messiah, and their dead will be resurrected, and they will enjoy an abundance of good. Now, I saw that. I said, yes, their Messiah Yeshua. You know, when I saw that interpretation or that rendering of that verse, I thought, yes, Father, that you are going to reveal to them that, and again, this is referring to the end of days during the millennium, they are going to gather. And again, I believe when Yeshua returns, there's a remnant that has returned to the land, but not all have returned yet. I believe when Yeshua returns, all of Israel will be returned to the land. Hallelujah. And the borders are going to change, extremely. They're going to be about 10 times the size that they are now. But I love this. They will gather from their exile and dwell in the shade of their Messiah, and their dead will be resurrected, and they will enjoy an abundance of good. Hallelujah. That's what we have to look forward to. Again, God always, even though he brings a rebuke, he always brings hope along with that rebuke. You know, a hope that even in judgment, there's a hope that they're going to, that of a return. And again, this is before Messiah came. So we see that, a lot of this has been fulfilled in Messiah and is continuing to be, fulfilled. Hosea 14:5, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger will turn away from him. That word for love is ahava or ahav. Again, it's there's different meanings depending on the context, but it's really the strongest is God's love for his people. God loves his people. It says, it says that God so loved the world, that anybody can come to salvation and faith in Messiah. All they have to do is repent. But again, people have, Romans 1 talks about, their hearts being hardened, and that's why, it's important for us to intercede and pray that, again, God is continually every day dealing with people's hearts. But, if they don't repent, once they pass death's door, there's no coming back. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. And again, God has been calling people back since the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Hava fell and gave their, obedience to HaSatan, but right from 3:15, Genesis 3:15, God promised a redeemer, and he has been wooing people back ever since in his patience and his love, through Israel and through our Messiah Yeshua. Deuteronomy 7:7, it is not because you are more numerous than all the peoples that Adonai set his love on you and chose you, for you are the least of all people. Rather, because of his love for you and his keeping the oath he swore to your fathers, Adonai brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Zephaniah 3:17, Adonai your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior, El Gabor. He will delight over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will dance for joy over you with singing. Romans 3:21, but now God's righteousness apart from the Torah has been revealed, to which the Torah and the prophets bear witness, namely the righteousness of God through putting trust in Messiah Yeshua, to all who keep on trusting, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are set right as a gift of his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua. God set forth Yeshua as an atonement through faith in his blood to show his righteousness in passing over sins already committed. Ephesians 1:5-7, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Messiah Yeshua in keeping with the good pleasure of his will, to the glorious praise of his grace for which he favored us through the one he loves. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the removal of trespasses, and in keeping with the richnesses of his grace. Again, we need to balance our walk in Torah with knowing who we are in Messiah as well, knowing what he has done for us and the position we hold now in him. Ephesians 2:4, but God was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah, for by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, to show in the Olam Haba, the measureless world, Olam Haba is the world to come, the measureless, Olam Haba is the current world that we're living in, the measureless richness of his grace and kindness towards us in Messiah Yeshua. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. It is not based on deeds, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Yeshua for good deeds, which God prepared beforehand so we may walk in them. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:9 and 10, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our deeds, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Messiah Yeshua before time began. So we see the rabbis say that part of God's creation plan from the beginning of time was Messiah. That Messiah was in his plan from the very beginning. But now has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Messiah Yeshua. Indeed, he nullified the power of death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news. And then Titus, I believe this is the last scripture. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, not by deeds of righteousness, which we have done ourselves, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the mikvah of rebirth and renewing of the Ruach HaKodesh, whom he abundantly poured out on us through Messiah Yeshua, our Savior, so that being set right by his grace, we might become heirs with the confident hope of eternal life. So again, there's a two-edged sword. You can be the nicest person on the face of the earth. You can be the most giving person. You can be, the most loving person, but if you aren't redeemed, all those good deeds are not enough. It's because of God's grace and love and mercy that we receive salvation. And as a result of that, our life is a life of good deeds, not to earn salvation, but because that's a part of our character now, to walk in goodness, to walk in mercy, to walk in love, to be a blessing to people. We're not doing it to earn brownie points. It's a part of our nature now. Okay? Hallelujah. Elvino McCain, our Father, King, Father, we thank you for this study. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, that for all that you have done for us, and that we, as we study the prophets, Father, we are learning. And rejoicing over all that you have done for us and the mercy you have shown us and watching over your word in our lives. Father, I thank you that we all have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive from your word, Father, this day and every day. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, let me unmute you guys. So if you have any comments, unmute. Okay. Had a little rough start there. I'm still kind of getting used to the controls of this Zoom thing, and sometimes I mess it up. Hallelujah. But that's okay. Hallelujah.
That's okay. Hallelujah.
God manages to use it anyway. Oh, hallelujah. So, any comments or questions? Or?
How's Brother Scott doing today?
He's doing good. He was sitting here. He was just, he's kind of because it was major surgery, and, you know, we're believing God that he's healed and God's working in his body. You know, they got the tumor out, and we're just believing all that cancer has to go in Yeshua's name. Yep. We stand on his word, but, you know, it still takes a lot out of you physically, you know. Come here, Minister Scott. Let them know how you're doing.
Just a FYI, Rabbi, I love your hair today.
Oh, it's like finista. Really.
I love it. I like it how that looks.
Well, thank you. I'm not a flat person. I like it. But thanks. Go on, dear. Minister Scott wants to try to say something. He's kind of being a little choked up here. That's okay, hon. Want to come over here? You okay? Okay. He's just overcome with emotion right now.
Okay.
Because of God's love. Hallelujah. And mercy. It's okay. You get a chance. He's a man that's not afraid to show emotions.
Right.
Go on.
That's a real man.
Amen.
I just give all glory to God for what he did for me, because I know what was behind the whole thing. Past sins, but more than anything, Hasatan wanted to stop what we were going to do.
You know, right.
And keep us from doing this move and doing exactly what he wants us to do, because he told me he's got a big work for this congregation.
Yeah,
I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, I'm just so thankful that he's in my life, because I don't think I would have made it otherwise.
Amen.
That's right.
God's mercy.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. I know.
He's our backbone. Yep. Hallelujah. God is. You know, and I'm thankful for my husband, because, you know, he's may not be perfect in a lot of people's eyes, but I know he has a heart for God, and, you know, he has a tender heart to serve God, and he loves, you know, the congregation, and he's a good husband. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is, he will get glory. God will get glory for this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
It's been a pleasant journey with Minister Scott. I love him.
Amen. We know you do, Kenny.
I love everybody.
You're another mighty man of God who's tender-hearted and not afraid to show his emotions.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
I'll be in touch to pick you up for Shabbat next Saturday, okay?
Can I let you know during the week for sure?
Okay.
Like maybe prayer time on Wednesday?
Sure.
Thursday,
I'm sorry, Thursday.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, that way we got it straight then.
No problem.
And
thank you very much, Isha.
Thank you, Leticia, for being willing to do that as well.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem.
Bless you. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're just celebrating. You know, again, it's been an emotional, you know, journey for both of us, especially this week, you know, just, but we felt the prayers, you know, when we started feeling overwhelmed, all of a sudden this peace would come on us, and, you know,
right,
calm down, and, you know, it was, even while, you know, he was in the operation, having the operation, I had God's peace. And, you know, because the enemy is, you know, bombarding you with thoughts, and you're just, you know, hey, I just rebuke those thoughts in Yeshua's name. But your prayers, we can feel, you know, those prayers. So, you know, we're, you know, again, it's sometimes I think that God a lot, especially as leaders and as pastors, you go through things sometimes, you know, in order to help others too,
right.
You know,
right.
Down the road, you know, experience things. And not that, I mean, he was in a lot of pain this week with passing blood clots and stuff, but, you know, all I could do is pray, you know, he'd be like screaming in pain, and I'd just be praying in the spirit, and, you know, Father, help him, because there's nothing I could do physically to help him, you know, so. And God did, and he's actually doing a lot better, you know, and we're believing God for a good report when we see the doctor in a couple weeks, and we're believing God, no chemotherapy in
right.
Yeshua's name.
Amen. Yeah. Amen and amen.
Amen. So I'm looking forward, again, I'm looking forward to our new beginnings, our celebration, and
amen.
All that God is doing, and thank you for your faithfulness, and you know, we're just going forward in him. Hallelujah.
Pleasure. Having fun on the ride.
Amen. Amen.
It's not a Harley, but I'm having fun.
God. Well, Father, I just thank you for Letitia and Kenny and all those in the congregation, Father. I just ask you for your blessings upon them. I thank you that the devourer is rebuked over their finances. I thank you that that we all walk in divine health and healing, Father, that the enemy has no right over us. And I thank you for your blessings upon our congregation and our families in the name of Yeshua. Thank you for restoration and healing and deliverance in the area, that we may be a light of Messiah and bring hope to those who have no hope, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us. Hallelujah. And hopefully the video came out okay together.
With the fam on Shabbat.
Amen. Amen. You know, so we can still stay connected.
Right.
Hallelujah. So, all right. So the next, our next class would be, I think it's May 5th for Acts. Yeah. The Act. Did I send you the notes for Acts yet? Acts chapter 2?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
They sent those, but all the PowerPoints aren't going to be sent, so you collect them all together.
No, I did the notes for Acts chapter 2, which we haven't gotten into yet. And I was sending them ahead.
Yeah.
So did you get those? Okay.
Yeah, we got those.
Okay.
Yes.
So just so you can kind of pre-study them before we go over them. And the same thing for the Jewish roots, I pre-sent those as well for for study. So, all right. Okay, well, we'll see you all then. Let's see. Let me look at – I'm looking in May, but, okay, this week. So prayer will start in May. Oh, that's this week, May 2nd. That's this week. The next is 8 a.m. Thursday, whoever can join us. And then also in the evening. So we'll do it two times, you know, and see how it works out the best. But we're going to do this on a weekly basis. So come prepared to pray. Okay. So, all right. Okay, you guys have a good winter spring day.
Right.
Stay warm, and we'll talk on Thursday then. We'll pray on Thursday. Okay.
Shabbat shalom.
Shalom. Shabbat shalom.